and welcome back to the Loud Mouse Podcast for another special episode where there's actually visuals. I'm your host, FPS Diesel. Alongside me, as always, is Quite.
Why the fuck are you touching me, Brandon?
I'm touching Diesel.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Sorry, you're in the way.
As well as Wild Spartans, a.k.a. Brandon.
Hi! Hi, gamers. So this is the real world. Don't get used to this. And you're not going to get any visuals anytime soon. I just want to let you know, this is the treat, all right? Don't get spoiled. What are we talking about? Because we have no topics lined up because we're not prepared.
We can talk about how we have no topics.
That's true. We don't have any topics.
We don't have topics. You know what I have, though? Uno. It's a great game.
Okay. Now, there is stuff that happened on the internet.
There is, yeah.
Like,
this week on the internet, Logan Paul is gay for a month.
It's kind of epic, not going to lie.
What do you think is the story with this? Because I didn't read it.
I didn't either.
I read the headline.
I just turned it and I'm like, what?
Apparently the gist of it is that Logan Paul decided that he's just going to be gay because that's his New Year's resolution. That's so, one of them.
He said gay for a month, though.
For a month.
I thought, like, I skimmed the Mashable article, and apparently the first, like, every month he has, like, some alliteration meme where, like, he does a new thing. Like, one of them was like...
So for the first one, he chose to be gay?
No, that was March. Male only March or whatever.
Male only March, yes. For the entire month of...
What's January?
I think it's vegan or some shit.
But he's vegan already.
I don't know.
Wasn't he like permanently vegan?
I think it's like group resolutions or some shit that he made with his mates. Vegan.
So what? Him and his mates are going to suck each other's dicks?
Well, I mean, that's one way you can be gay for a month without...
I think that's like an easy way to do it at least.
I mean, I don't know the semantics because I also don't fucking know the whole situation, so I don't feel like talking about
it. I mean, like, I don't know.
Like, physically, none of us researched this.
No, none of us did.
No, we just saw Logan Paul says he's going to go gay for a month, and we're like, what?
I like speculating over how Logan Paul's going to accomplish this. I think that's the funny
part. So Logan Paul's plan is every Saturday he's going to suck a new dick. In the month of March.
Personally, I think his plan is to main DDD, because if you do that, you're a massive faggot.
What is a DDD?
King DDD.
Oh, okay. It was a Smash thing.
Yeah.
Not a gay thing.
I didn't know you didn't know.
I mean, smashing is kind of gay if you're doing it.
King DDD got a big DDD.
I mean, like...
Had to smash your bros and smash.
Also, King K Rool means. Unless he's been nerfed by the
King K Rool is broken.
No, but yeah, just a little bit.
Personally, I like King K Rool.
Yeah, because he's broken. That's why you enjoy playing.
You know, that's not really why. You know, I think he's just a good character.
Brandon, you have no skill.
Brandon,
and you look like a California raisin.
I beat you every time in Smash. All right, back up,
Brandon,
kid. Suck at Smash.
Brandon, if you didn't play Donkey Kong as a kid and you main King K Rool, it's because he's broken.
Yes. But I still beat Diesel every time. And Diesel sucks at Smash.
I don't suck at Smash.
Yeah, no, he rage quits and we have to tell him, Diesel, you get better if you try.
He actually beat me a couple times yesterday.
Did he?
I got better than you. I think he's found his main in Corrin.
Who's your Corrin?
Corrin, yes.
I main Little Mac, and people make fun of me for it.
Of course we fucking do.
If he's a bad character and I'm good at him, that means
I'm
good.
One, it's like in complete inverse proportion to you in reality. And also...
Yeah, the King K Rool's closer. You want me to play King K Rool instead?
No, play King DDD.
I don't want... He's OP! Are you kidding me?
He's easier.
His up B is ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's really easy to fucking dodge.
No, his hammer's OP as fuck.
No, it's really... he's a slow-ass motherfucker.
No, he's OP.
Okay, I don't know if this is just me, but isn't it kind of weird that I have to, like, turn to my left or turn to my right to talk to you guys, like... I don't know, I'm just saying.
Well, my left, the left side.
I'm kind of just talking and not looking anywhere.
The left
That's weird. I like making eye contact, you know? Like, it's an important function of, like, society.
The left side of my neck is going to be really tired.
We live in a society, Diesel. We live in a society.
The thing is, though, the left side of my neck is going to feel really left out because I have to turn my head to the right for whoever I want to talk to.
And I'm just like, I'm just don't care. Like, I'm staring at the camera right now and Diesel's looking at me.
Yeah, we're beneath him, literally.
So he's like, hey, Diesel, how you doing?
Hey. I look so small between both of
you. even though you're bigger than Coin.
How is that even possible next to me? Like
next to me, it makes sense because I am bigger.
I guess you're like kind of slow.
You know, it's really hard to find things to talk. We could have prepared topics for this episode, and yet for some reason we chose not.
Do we ever prepare topics?
Okay.
Yes.
Most times.
No. Let's talk about Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse, oh yes! God, that's we've right. all, we can finally talk about Spider-Verse.
We all saw it together, we all saw Spider-Verse. Right? Yeah, we saw it. First of all, I want to talk about the end meme.
These two saw it twice.
Yeah.
I saw it three times. This is spoilers, by the way.
Yeah. Spoilers from
here.
Yeah.
It's been out for fucking ever.
So, we're going to talk about the bonus meme at the end of the,
movie.
It's basically a bonus meme, let's be real. So, who wants to explain it? Because I probably explain it better than I can.
Spider-Man, I've seen it the most times, I guess.
Okay, go for it. Okay.
Spider-Man 2099, he goes to the past to the fucking Spider-Man pointing meme in the original cartoon, and he gets into an argument with Spider-Man about who started pointing first.
Yeah, and like the pointing, it's great. It's like one of the good adaptations of a meme that the series ever done.
It's really fucking good. Like, I also liked all the references in the movie to the fucking Spider-Man desk meme. Like, remember like when they were in Alchemex Labs and he was like standing behind the desk.
What?
Like, you know when he was typing the password of the computer and then like Miles was struggling to get off the lights?
Yeah.
It was like a straight shot of like a level with Spider-Man's head, like Peter B. Parker's head. And it was just him behind the desk, like just looking all disappointed.
Oh, okay. I know what meme you're talking about now.
And then there was in the end credits, there like it was a lot more blatant, but there was just like a fucking like a massive room full of the Spider-Man head desk thing. And then the next scene was all those desks smashed and them dancing. It was great.
I don't know, the whole movie was really good.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. And then like back on the bonus scene real quick, definitely my favorite end scene for a movie, period. And then runner-up's Deadpool 2.
What do you, what was I gonna say? Fuck. Shit! I don't know if it comes back to me.
There's so many good parts of that movie. I think Nicolas Cage was perfectly casted as like Spider-Noir.
People memed it, but like it was really fitting.
Like genuinely really good fitting. Performance.
Yeah.
Every time the fucking match bit came on, like I would always look to the person next to me to see the reaction, because like fucking it's so good. But I remember I was gonna ask, where does this rank among the other Spider-Man movies for you guys?
This is by far the best Spider-Man movie. I'm tired of people saying the Sam Raimi like trilogy or like the first.
Yeah, that's like a meme.
But like I can't watch those movies in a serious light anymore because they're so campy, you know? And I get like Spider-Man being silly funny, but like it's just too much. Like I can't take the Green Goblin seriously when he has trouble moving his neck in his suit, you know? It's aged. It has aged a lot.
Some might say that's a bad reason to like this movie because this might age in like the next 10 years, but personally I think the stylistic choices will help it get have
love. Oh no, this is gonna age really well in the next 10 years. Yeah,
A lot of people say like Spider-Man 2 is the end-all be-all. I think this was better than Spider-Man 2.
I would agree.
And maybe it's just because like I love Tom Holland. Debating if it's better than Homecoming. I'm leaning towards yes.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I didn't think about what was my favorite Spider-Man movie before this. I can't really like talk about the old ones that much because I watched them when I was really young.
Same.
I watched them recently. But like from what I remember, I did watch the one with Spider-Man. Was it 3 with Venom?
Yeah,
that's the one where
the finger pointing.
Yeah,
one was really like I didn't like that one.
That's the one
I rewatched it and I was like, this isn't.
That's
not
the one
that
everybody's.
Great.
That's not.
They
the
meme
one.
That in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like I would watch that one. I'm like, that's not that good. But I don't know. Like compared to Homecoming, like, that's what it is. Compared to Homecoming and then this.
Yeah, I guess it's the most recent one. So
honestly, this one's better than Homecoming.
I would agree.
Like it is. I don't know. There's more character development.
I'm very confident that this is the best Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. No, I'd say it too. No, it was a really fun, good movie.
How the fuck does the same studio that created
makes Emoji movie
create this shit?
Like they had no bearing on what memes were in that, but this movie.
This movie, they had like really good memes.
It's about who's writing it and directing it as well. Because the guys, I think, who did the Lego movie did this one. I might be wrong.
They even had.
I'll check.
They even had a fucking picture of one of the terrible ice cream popsicles you can get at a fucking ice cream truck. And it's like, that's actually what they look like too when you fucking take out the bag. Like, it's like the droopy eye looking thing, and it's like the colors are all wrong. Yeah, like one of the eyes is like fucking lopsided. It's like, that's what they look like, and it's, I don't know, it was a really funny movie.
Another thing I really liked about the movie was the fucking soundtrack. Like, obviously there's the Commission.
The soundtrack was
like,
really fucking good.
There's like that album they have that like complements like the fucking movie, like a bunch of the tracks off of that were in the movie.
Yeah.
And like, I know some people have like problems with like Commission for movie songs, but Sunflower is a fucking good
song. Sunflower is a really good song.
But other than that, like even just like the normal OST for the movie, like the themes of the characters that weren't like sung by celebrities or whatever, like the Prowler theme is fucking haunting. It is fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so the movie was written by Phil Lord, who did the Lego movie. He did 22 Jump Street.
That makes sense.
And there was a Easter egg for Clone High. It said Clone College, but he also was the producer on Clone High, which is an underrated TV show from the early 2000s.
It's a good show.
Yeah, but and just like capping off the music thing, like my favorite bit I think is probably the fact that the Spidey Christmas album is a real album on Spotify.
No, that's good. That's the type of shit that makes the movie so great. It's like when it leaks into the real world.
Chris Pine like went fucking off on Spidey Bells. That shit was great.
Yeah.
Like he like the end. He's like, why does nobody recognize my other talents? I have a degree in chemical engineering.
Yeah. It was really good.
That shit's so
also
good.
Like I like when it seems like people are using more hip hop in movie music now, like movie soundtracks, because like The Grinch, for example, as well had a lot of hip hop.
I don't know.
Which was really strange.
That's one of Tyler, the Creator's top songs now.
It's like think about it. It's so fucking weird. They got Tyler, the Creator for the fucking Grinch. That's so strange.
I don't think the concept of putting hip hop in movies on its own is enough to like make.
I should say animated film. Because I feel like they're pushing an animated film. It could just be me being more self-aware about it.
Just putting like hip hop in movies and shit. Like I don't think that's I don't think that's a reason to like this movie. I think when it's done well, specifically, like you could like Boogie in the Grinch movie was really fucking weird. Like it shouldn't have been there.
Like I don't really have a problem with it in the Grinch movie.
I don't know. It seemed really out of place. Like in the clip that I watched, I didn't watch the whole movie, but it's like the Tyler, the Creator album was interesting, but. Hip hop being put into movies on its own, like I don't think that's enough.
I think it fits.
I think how well they did it.
Yeah, I think it fits. That's what I'm saying. I think it fits. Like they're doing it well.
Sunflower fits the narrative, and it's part of that. And a lot of the songs in the movie were part of the narrative. They didn't just like shove a song in it. Like the Netflix movie Bright just has this song about people being impoverished when there's like orcs and elves,
is that movie good? Or is it bad?
It's like comically bad.
Or is it okay?
Like I'll watch it if I want to watch a stupid movie, and I love the concept, but it's just not a good movie. But like music needs to serve like a narrative purpose in the film to justify the use of a song. I think Quentin Tarantino does a good job of that.
Sunflower acted as like a narrative tie-in for like a bunch of like different moments, like beginning, middle, and end. It was all.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Spider-Verse is like really fucking good. Really good movie.
Genuinely fantastic.
I don't know how they fucking made the emoji movie. I saw a Thanos meme of it where it was like perfectly balanced. Emoji movie in Spider-Verse.
Like you said, writers and directors.
So bad.
I don't think you can really art. I don't think this is like a big thing to say, but the animation in the emoji movie was good. Like as far as like.
Oh yeah, no. Sony's really good at anime. Like Wreck-It Ralph is really good animation too. They make Wreck-It Ralph, right?
No, Disney.
No.
Disney does that?
Disney
does
that. The point is with the right guidance for like. The visuals might be good in an emoji movie, but the writing and shit and the plot just fuck.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Like, there's real talent behind the animation and all that shit there, and that same talent went into Spider-Verse, and they had good talent as well that went into the Spider-Verse movie. And I'm sure the people that worked on emoji movie, like, they probably didn't like having the movie that they spent years on get shit on, and I'm sure there was a lot of company oversight that made that movie not so great.
Dude, I am sure that everyone working on that movie was like, this is gonna be a fucking train wreck. Like, they had to know.
The artist.
Had to know.
Like, had to have, like, you know, you just, it's part of your job. You're not always going to work on a project you like.
It's like how directors will do a movie that, like, they're, like, told to do so you can direct this movie that you want to do. Like, Christopher Nolan, like, he did the fucking Dark Knight trilogy.
First movie of the job was fucking Sony.
Hell, if you get hired at Sony Pictures to do the emoji movie, you're going to be ecstatic. Because at least you got a job at Sony Pictures.
Yeah, I guess.
And you're not working at, like, a gas station.
But Quentin...
If you are working at a gas station.
Christopher Nolan, like, he has this, like, really cool thing where, like, even the movies he... Like, his passion projects, like fucking Interstellar, even those are hits. So it's like, he's in this bubble where he can just make whatever the fuck he wants. I stole that from a video. I forget which one.
No, there are certain, like, auteurs in, like, the film industry that can do whatever they want. And people will just gush over it because it's, like, a movie they made. Because, what is it? Again, like, Quentin Tarantino, I love a lot of his movies, but, like, some of his newer, like, movies, like, Hateful Eight wasn't, like, amazing, you know, but people still gushed over that because it was a movie that he made, you know, but...
I know a video...
I like The Hateful Eight.
I'm trying to remember the video because it was really fucking.
You were gonna say I would win, but you stopped yourself because you're like, we're recording. I can't say you'd win.
I would win if I fought Brandon.
Yeah, okay.
It was a video essay though, and it was really good. So I'm trying to remember what it was because like it was a good fucking watch.
God,
I feel like I want to say Nerdwriter, but I feel like that's just.
It wasn't Nerdwriter.
Yeah, no. Like
no,
it was. It had something to do with The Dark Knight. I'm not sure.
Was it High Top Films?
It might have been. That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Or Full Fat Videos.
Whoever made that video, good fucking job. I'm so sorry, I can't remember
your name. You guys watch a lot of film YouTube, huh?
I don't watch like commentary or like writing videos, Brandon.
I get lost.
Okay, jeez, back up. I don't watch your videos.
Brandon, sometimes you just get lost in like the recommended chain, and like I'll go from watching. I'll watch like 10 of those in a row because they are really engaging. Like I love Cosmonaut Variety Hour. He's fucking great.
Yeah, he's great.
I don't watch a lot of film YouTube. I don't know. I'm not like super deep in it, so my opinions are like pretty normie when it comes to movies. Yes.
I mean, same here, but it's like I still like enjoy smart analysis of comic book movies because it.
I'll watch some and be like.
It makes me feel cooler.
I'll watch some and be like, oh,
hey,
that's a thing.
Hey, that's kind of epic, bro.
Yeah.
I have to write papers on this, so you know I'm required to have better opinions.
We get it, Diesel. Yeah, big intellectual.
Yeah, Diesel's
brain.
Like, well, the animation sound was really good.
And big brain.
And then I'm sitting here like, good movie.
Good movie.
Good laughs.
Speaking about opinions in media, though, like me and Diesel, like we were like just listening to music earlier today and the other day, and I played some JPEG Mafia, and he was like, it's just noise. And like,
it
not,
sounds like screaming.
That's not the point. Like, the point I'm making is like, JPEG Mafia is like, his most recent album is pretty experimental. And you said that it's experimental for a reason.
I mean, like, they call it experimental because it doesn't fit like the normal like genre like tropes that are associated with like rap music. That's the reason you'd call like something experimental.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of hard to like pin down a genre for like Death Grips because they kind of mesh with like grunge and metal and rap.
Industrial.
So
I heard the name Death Grips and I'm just like, I wouldn't like them.
I feel like you might like one or two of their songs, but not a whole lot.
You listen to Get Got and I don't think you'd listen to any.
I like a lot of single songs from artists, but like I won't like the artists in general for the most part.
Yeah.
So.
For me though, like the JPEG Mafia song I played was real. It's not the N word, but I'm too scared to say that it'll be taken out of context. It's like real opposite of positive.
Really negative?
No.
Okay.
You know the
villain in Spider-Man PS4.
Mr. Negative.
Now take the tiv off of negative. It's real that.
Okay, real that hours.
Yes. Real bad hours.
But it's the sample for like most of the melody of the beat is it's like I forgot what song it's from, but it's a dude like screaming, and it sounds really good. Like it gets me really fucking hype, especially like with JPEG, like with Peggy's delivery and the vocals.
Minecraft was all made with people.
Just like with also like the drums go really fast on that shit. Like I love it, and I think there was this other song. Like it was the intro track right before the one. It was 1539 N. Calvert. I don't know what it means, but it feels like an address or some shit.
Sure. I don't know.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
You have the floor.
if someone picked it up, I was saying that Minecraft audio sound.
They're songs off of that album. Like, they're both songs off of the same album from JPEG Mafia.
Okay. Diesel, do you understand any of that?
No.
I don't
listen to that.
I'm so sorry. I hope someone did. Did someone understand that?
What music do you listen to that might be considered experimental?
I don't know.
I don't listen to anything that, like, sounds like it's being run through a trash compactor, really.
Well, I mean, Death Grips would be experimental.
Is that what experimental is?
I mean, Death Grips.
You know when you put a fork in, like, a garbage disposal? Music that sounds like that, I don't listen to.
Well, I mean, Death Grips would be considered experimental. And
true.
Is experimental music just fucking gargle noises? Is that all it is?
Not necessarily, no. Like, JPEG Mafia, like, some of, like, what he has that might be considered experimental, it's not all, like, super, like, in-your-face, just unorthodox sounds. It's just sounds you might have heard put
together. I'm gonna sound like an asshole here, but I think Scoop the Poop from Kanye West is experimental.
Yeah, no, I could agree with that.
There you go.
I could agree with that.
I mean, if it's experimental, it's unintentional, because, like, he was clearly making that song to be, like, to spit in people's faces.
He literally was like, poopity scoop.
Like, the
scoopity poopity doop.
Like, if he released it with the intention of it being experimental, I could see that, but that definitely wasn't his intention.
Well, I think one of the...
It didn't have lyrics towards the end, it's poopity scoop.
Scoopity doopity woop. Experimental music is to defy genre conventions, I think, in my opinion. You know, it's to make a statement about the music that's being listened to.
Yeah, poopity scoop.
I mean, I guess you could argue, like, do you think it made a statement about the genre, or that it was just in retaliation to what people were saying about him? Because he, like, his words before leaning into the verse was saying, this next verse, like, it was very much to be inflammatory.
Yeah, but that's part of Kanye's shtick.
It's part of Kanye's shtick, but like he hasn't really done it that kind of way before. At least.
But like, is anybody offended by Poopty Scoop? Like, that's the point. That it's not offensive.
It's some people weren't offended like at the thought of Poopty Scoop, but like it was very.
I can just imagine someone taking this shit, like, listening to that, being like, I'm offended! Poopity Scoop! I can't believe it!
I love how they have to be taking a shit, but
but what else would they do? How else would they be offended? Who would listen to Poopity Scoop and be like, I'm offended if they weren't taking a poop?
It's not the Poopity Scoop itself, it's the concept of the song. Like, it was released to, like, people expecting, like, real fucking music from Kanye or whatever the fuck, or like, something to explain himself.
That would piss people off.
Yeah,
it did piss
people off. It's that concept.
No, I remember when it came out. I remember when it came out, and I'm like, is this real? Is this like an actual song?
I fucking bumped that in like so much when it first came out.
It's like, did he actually put poopity scoopity whoop in a fucking song? Is this real? Poopity scoopity whoopity doopity?
For some people, it just felt like a cop out, though.
I can see that. I don't know. I mean, like, but at the end of the day, it's just Poopity Scoop.
As far as, like, it is. It really is. It's
just Poopity Scoop, man.
Like, as far as experimental shit goes, I don't, like, would you guys consider, like, something to be experimental? Maybe not for a genre, but for a certain, like, artist. Like, something like Iridescence was kind of a step away from what Brockhampton normally does.
Yeah, because I listened to that album, I'm like, this does not feel the same. Like, I didn't listen to the whole thing yet, but, like, personally, that album is, like, one of their lesser ones. And, like, I was listening to it, and I was like, eh, it's okay, but,
it seems like a very different sound.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know, I prefer, I don't even know what albums are from, but, like, songs like Jello.
Yeah, the Saturation 1-3, they could, any song.
Yeah, no, those are all really good. Like, Boogie's also really good.
Like, there's only a couple singles you know come from, like, one album or another. Like, Boogie, Saturation 3, Definitive.
I just know they're all in Saturation.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
But it's like,
they're just one of the three.
Like, one of the biggest things that I noticed there is that there's a severe lack of trap drums and shit on all of the Saturations. On, fucking Iridescence, like, Jovert is fucking littered with trap snares. Like, but, like, in really weird places. And also, like, they sample a lot of sound effects instead of, like, just straight-up things. And a lot of the melody, if you will, like, comes from just consistent bass, like in New Orleans or in Jovert again. Or I don't know if I'm saying that right.
I really wish Puppy came out, but it didn't. It probably never will.
No. It's sitting on someone's computer somewhere forever.
Yeah, and they're like, we have it, but you don't.
We'll wait till the controversy is just a footnote in history.
What did you guys think of, like, the three non-album singles they released before that? Like, 1999, Wildfire, Truman, and Diana.
I liked all of those.
Yeah, I liked all of them.
All of those are in my playlist.
Yeah, I loved all of those. Like,
those were all really good.
I know,
like,
those songs, like, were getting a lot of flack from people when they first came out.
Really? Oh, it's probably because of Amir. It's probably
the Some people said that Wildfire was, like, the worst of the three, but that was one of my favorites of the three. And I think it was that, Diana, then Truman.
Mine goes... that's hard.
Buster, I don't know which one to pick.
I don't know... 1997 and then Diana are definitely, I don't know, Wildfire is my least favorite of the three. So, but I do like all of them. I do have all of them on my playlist and I will listen to them if they come on.
I always thought, like, when they first got released that that was like the numbering system they were using for the Best Years of Our Lives album. Like, and I'm still confused if that's a series of albums or an album in itself, because, like, it's 1999 towards 1990, whatever the fuck they're counting down to. Like, I really don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I really wish Puppy came out though. But it's never going to.
Would have been kind of epic.
Yeah. Because I remember I heard about it. And I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to this. And then just like, Amir did a thing and we kicked it out because we did the thing. And it was like, Puppy's over. It's like, shit.
That is a great explanation of that event.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. He did a thing, we kicked him out, he did a thing, and now he's gone.
It was just a thing.
It was just a thing.
It was a thing.
No, it was.
It was a thing that happened.
Dude, we are not downplaying it at all.
It was really bad. It was really bad.
A thing that happened, that definitely happened.
I just don't want to explain the whole guy. I think everyone knows what the hell happened.
A thing did happen at an instant.
Gotta
time.
Avoid that demonetization.
That's not even why. It's just
that's
like,
our cop out.
I don't want to explain
it's
it.
It's our cop out. Buster.
I don't even know exactly what happened. I just know it involved
It's
women.
Been too long. It's been too long for me.
Doesn't always involve women.
It's been
I can't
long.
Recall details.
Like, I can't
it's
either.
Been
it's
so long. I can't accurately recall it off the
it's
top.
It's not
of
this month's controversy.
Yeah, no, it's over. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, bro, sorry.
It already happened.
So, something interesting happened to our friend Hoover today.
Ooh!
PewDiePie!
Yeah.
PewDiePie!
Wow.
That was really interesting.
That was weird. Yeah. Holy crap.
If you looked at any of our Instagram stories, we posted us watching it because, so we saw the video come out.
Sorry,
and
not mine.
Not his. We were really surprised he was in the first, like, 3 minutes of the video.
He was the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was the first 3 minutes. I'm really fucking surprised about that. And it was just really weird seeing him in a fucking PewDiePie video.
Yeah, no.
Because he's honestly the person that I expected Quacky to be in there. Like, first. Like, before Hoover, right? So it's like, then Hoover's there, and it's like, whoa. This is weird. This is like a break in the matrix.
The smallest of us is now the most important.
Yeah,
it's great. It's cool. Video. It's like fucking our Hoover said the fuck word in a PewDiePie video.
And Brad had to censor it.
And guess what? He said that Ray William Johnson probably didn't release the claim because of the goodness of his heart, but because a bunch of YouTubers said something.
I wonder who the YouTubers are.
He stole our points for that video. Our points.
I don't know if I should feel good about that.
I'd say steal and jest because they're pretty common.
No, I will say though, Ray William Johnson did not release the claim out of the goodness of his heart. Hoover had to go to the very last step, the copyright system. I'm sure he doesn't mind talking with us.
He doesn't mind.
So it's like he had to go to the very last step. So basically, like, he got to the point where it was like, if you appeal this and it doesn't go through, Ray William Johnson will sue you. He went to that step, that all the way there.
He went to that step because when you get there, you also have to say you're willing to sue if you want to keep pursuing.
Yeah, you're willing to be sued, right? So he went to that step, and then like 50 minutes after it went through, his team responded, and his team said that we released a claim. Sorry,
can we say the name from the team?
What was it again?
It was Rob.
It was an R.
Yeah, sure. Rob
Philliam Swanson.
Sounds a lot like Ray.
Rob Philliam Swanson.
That's a Wild Spartans video right there.
Yeah, coming out in like 2 weeks.
Okay, now you guys aren't.
You guys aren't filled in.
Yeah,
and
you've missed a lot.
You've just been filled.
Yeah, but that was interesting. I mean, Ray got what he asked for. It's funny because he took down the video most likely due to like not wanting people to have like negative press of him, and then he gets the most
so
negative press at all of all. Yeah,
it's Streisand effect time, boys.
Yeah,
it's
the
Streisand.
Fucking PewDiePie drops this video, and it's like, ah, shit.
Yeah. The best part was like yesterday. Like we got a clip tweeted of like him saying Ray William Johnson did an oopsie in the beginning of Pew News, and then we're skimming through the video to try and find the part. We realized it wasn't there, and that like we don't know how it, but like it was just like in the beginning, and like it wasn't an actual clip, and then it was in the video the day after.
Yeah, I think he might have talked about it because like he did release the copyright video, so I think he talked about it and cut it out.
I'm sure the Pew News was too long, so he needed to separate it.
Almost 20 minutes, so I can understand why you need to take it.
Yeah, and
it makes sense.
I'm glad he talked about the copyright problems because I don't know why they do this. Like, so like every like I'd say 2 or 3 years, there's like a repeat in the copyright problems where like there's a huge issue and then like it stops because they do something.
It's like,
and then it repeats.
It's like people, like the companies start getting fucking cocky. Like if you, I don't know if you guys are heard about this, but like you guys know what's happening with James D, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like his channel is at threatening of deletion because of Collab DRM.
One of the reasons he got taken down was honestly also like a hilarious TikTok meme he made. It was kind of offensive, if you could call it that. It was more of like, what would you even call it?
Dark humor.
It was dark humor. Yeah, it wasn't really offensive, I'd say, but like it was darker humor.
I guess dark humor is inherently offensive, but it's like
Who would get offended by it? The person in the video would get offended by that. The person who's reacting to
it. But the intention, what's important is the intention was humor.
Yeah, it was just funny. It was hilarious. All right, it was fucking hilarious. And it's like that was the thing that got him in trouble mainly. And then there's a bunch of other shit that got him in trouble as well. And it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's like a company should not have this much power on the platform, and it's like, I get it.
Especially when the claims they're making are blatantly false.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, they should be like YouTube. Make it fucking required for them to tell me what they're claiming and like specify it. Because someone should not be able to be like, I own this content, and be like, okay, what content do you own, sir? Oh no, the whole thing. Like, no one should be able to fucking do that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
They can't do that. It shouldn't happen.
Also, if you want to appeal a claim, it shouldn't be sent to the back to the guys who made the decision.
Yeah, they also don't have to prove that it's actually that company. Someone can impersonate someone and make a false claim.
Yeah, which is one thing we were skeptical at first with Ray William Johnson, but then his email popped up on one of the appeals, so we'd like, oh yeah, that's him. So, yeah, because anybody can be anybody. So it's like, someone could actually, like, in theory, call themselves Collab DRM, not actually be Collab DRM, and still strike down your video. And you would think it's Collab DRM. It's really broken. There's no... Ugh. I get why they do it, because they don't want legal liability, but still.
It sounds like Collab DRM is actually the ones doing it to James Key, because like he's been in contact.
Oh, no, not that I'm that. I'm just saying in theory that it could happen. Okay, we're back.
And we're back.
Oops.
Cut me off, Diesel's camera.
This isn't mine. This is
Quite's camera.
They both do
Diesel's
same.
Microphone.
They both do the same thing.
It wouldn't change shit.
Are there any cameras that record longer than that?
Not Canons, I don't think.
Not the Rebel series.
I don't think, well, does your mirrorless record longer?
Yeah, but it's in 4K, so you're only gonna get a little bit of time.
No, it doesn't record longer, then it stops it. Wait.
If I recorded at 1080p, it would record longer.
Okay.
I'm always recording at 1080p.
Well, sometimes I just want to do it in 4K.
Well, I mean, if we're recording an hour-long podcast, just put
but
it
in. But I can't attach an external microphone.
Okay, anyways, Brandon, where were you?
I lost my train of thought now.
Frick! Collab DRM impersonating.
Impersonating people.
James Key getting his shit.
James Key, yeah. Oh no, I was talking about how YouTube. Okay, YouTube has no way for like. I get it. They don't want legal liability, right? But don't give all of the tools to the company. And give them tools, right? I'm not saying don't give them tools, but give the people who are defending themselves that probably are less well off than like Collab DRM. Also tools to defend themselves that actually like work and are effective and help filter out false strikes and claims. Because it's a huge problem. It really fucking is, especially
like,
recently.
I get like that like there are counterclaim things and those are tools for us to help them, but they are tools that are reliant on the other person being like
We need an unbiased perspective here. We can't just like and sometimes YouTube will email you and say that it's not copyrighted content.
Sometimes.
I've only said it happened one time.
I've had it once or twice, I think.
Only one time. But it's super rare. But it's like, I don't know, just make it more fair. Make it more level. Make it so the creator has more say than the company or like, not more say.
It should be equal say.
Because the problem is the company has way more say than creators.
They get to just say that you're guilty and you have to prove your innocence.
Yeah, and then like, the worst part is most of these companies let the claims expire all the way to 30 days and then reject you. And then if you don't apply within like a couple hours, they get the entire month's revenue of the fucking claim, even if you appeal it again.
It's fucking dumb. There's something else. There's something else I was gonna say.
PewDiePie? No.
There's a thing with like even some people who bought licenses for the shit that they're using.
Yeah.
Like they still get claims.
Yeah.
Even though they have a license, and you could say that like attach your.
Some people who make their own music get fucking claims.
Yeah, like the music they make gets claimed, but like you could say that attach the information for your license on the appeal, but it's like. That's like a workaround. That shouldn't be a problem that comes to there in the first place. But that's an ideal world, and that's arguing things that like.
Hey guys, remember when YouTube Rewind said that they were gonna, you know, do better in 2019? Well, boy, YouTube, you're doing a great job.
It's been.
They just meant the rewind. That's the thing. They just meant the rewind. Yeah.
They're just like next year's gonna be a better rewind.
Yeah, basically.
That's not why people disliked it. You fucking morons.
To be fair though, like to YouTube, like because like we do show YouTube a lot. They have made some steps to be more transparent. It's just a lot. It's hard to find. So for example, on the Creator Studio, if you're a creator, they'll tell you no issues with the site. So like for example, I don't know what it says right now because I can't check it on my phone because it doesn't work on mobile. But they'll tell you like. Thumbnails aren't showing up properly, or you know, YouTube's not working right in the Nintendo Switch, or something like that. They'll tell you known issue that they're trying to fix.
And it sounds and like also it seems like they're like being more upfront with us, like about like new features, like like there'll be like little notifications at the top of your Creator Studio.
Yeah, like how they're getting rid of the automatic tweets.
They're getting rid of automatic tweets, the annotations. Like they let us know this stuff, and like we might get angry, but at least we know about it.
They're telling us before they fucking pull
like,
it on
we
Earth.
We know it's about to happen. We know the Creator Studio shit is gonna happen. Like they're being more communicative with us, and we do appreciate that. Like we shit on YouTube a lot, but like we do understand that as a big fuck off corporation with millions of people to fucking satisfy, advertisers and creator like that, it's a big fucking job.
Yeah.
And like, but without this dialogue from both sides, it's hard to like.
There was also, I think it's a good example of like why YouTube has to be so like, you know, not paying attention. It's because of the Viacom like lawsuit. There's a video by Emperor Lemon that basically goes over this.
Are they being sued?
But from back in the day.
Oh, yeah. When the first lawsuit.
That was the first lawsuit.
Yeah.
And they basically said, you know, like, we can't see, like, everything that's on the website. And I'm being very reductive about it. But, like, that's part of the reason they can't be so, like, open or say, like, what they know goes on the site. They just have to take preventative measures.
Yeah, it's so like, they can get sued.
Like, it's physically impossible for, like, a team of YouTube, like a team of staff, like physical people to know everything that happens on the website. Like they, like these algorithms need to exist, mm-hmm. like for our, like for the website to be able to stay up.
Yeah.
And so we can do what we want. Like we have to
find. Yeah, they can't necessarily tell you everything, because if it did, then like you would know, you'd be able to exploit it. Fuck, I was gonna say something else about the shit. Oh, they have what's the channel called? Creator Insider. They have a channel called Creator Insider where they get personalities. I'd say like that's like really like loose.
I think it's literally just their staff, isn't it?
It's their staff, but like they're the personalities on the channel. Anyways, they have some of their staff update people on like things that happen on the website, and like they're like, no offense to them, but they are by no means like video creators at all. Like they'll have segments where like they have like the outro in place, or like the guy's getting up, turning off the camera, or it's like he's like staring at his phone, like reading the script, and he'll just start talking. Like they're by no means like creators, but like they do inform you about things that are happening.
I'm pretty sure that the people that are actually working on the stuff that they're talking about.
Yeah, they are. So it's like they're also doing work on YouTube, and it's like they inform you on things that are happening. So if you're a creator and you want updates. What the fuck are you people doing?
Keep going.
Do creator ins, look up creator insider on YouTube, and then do that. And
you're
then
win.
You'll get some good shit for that. Anyways, can you guys stop? Please. There's still gonna be audio listeners.
Okay, I understand that.
Okay, can we finish our game first, prick?
Dear God. And I have to stall because they're playing, what is that game called?
Sticks.
They're playing Sticks.
I'm gonna lose.
Diesel's losing.
It's gonna be epic,
Diesel's
brother.
Losing. Diesel's getting his ass kicked. Oh, Diesel lost. No, he didn't lose yet. come on, Diesel. Come on.
I'm losing.
Come on.
I think I'm losing.
Come on, Diesel. You can do it. You can lose. You can lose, Diesel. Oh, Diesel lost. Wow, what a surprise. I am a deep shot.
If he went for the other hand.
All right, Brandon. We don't need to be passive aggressive here.
That's not passive aggressive.
Oh, we're in a tundra.
Excuse me. I'd like to refrain from talking about this.
I don't want to talk about it.
Brandon has consumed so much boomer juice in the last 24 hours, I'm pretty sure he's actually gonna turn purple. Look at that. His sweatshirt's
purple. Oh my god, he turned purple! He's a great now!
Thanos Brandon.
Oh my god, the real Brandon would never turn into Thanos. Oh my god, this can't be real. I'm shaking, I'm crying.
I have an Infinity Gauntlet. In my room.
No, I do, bitch.
You actually do have one, yeah. I went to Walmart and bought one. Just kidding, I didn't buy one.
You should.
I did buy air.
If you're looking for like a cool thing to put on a fucking shelf, they're actually pretty dope.
Compressed air is a cool thing to put on a shelf.
No.
You bought compressed air!
It's not compressed air. I don't know what the fucking talking about. It's not compressed air.
It is compressed.
No,
it's in a can.
It's not traditional compressed air.
It's not compressed air.
It's compressed oxygen.
So like you can actually breathe it. Don't stick compressed air in your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Or do.
So I saw I saw an ad at the airport for like fucking bottled oxygen, and I was like, what? This is peak capitalism. And I saw it and I'm like, I need this. And then we went to a Bass Pro Shop as a meme, because like we drove by this place to go see Spider-Verse, and it was like this fucking massive goddamn store. It's huge. It was bigger. It was like, I don't know, what would you compare it? Amusement park? That's what someone said.
It was like walking into a Cracker Barrel. That just sold hunting equipment.
Yeah, it was huge.
It was so big, like there was like a little like laser shooting range kind of meeting.
Yeah.
Like, there was a fish aquarium.
Yeah.
A waterfall.
And like I've been to a
it
Bass
was two
Pro,
stories.
I've been to a Bass Pro Shop before. They're usually like that with the aquarium and the shooting
they're,
thing.
Like they're big and shit, like, but like they ain't that.
That
big.
One was big. That one was real big. Like imagine a normal size Walmart. It was like double the size of a normal size goddamn Walmart. So like, it was big.
Like I think Henry put it pretty good. Like the closest thing they have to a shop that size in the UK is like an IKEA. But imagine you could see everywhere in the IKEA at once.
Yeah,
and it was made out of like maple wood.
Yeah, it was huge.
Like
it
they had huge. Clothes. They had like a miniature restaurant there too.
They had a restaurant.
Yeah,
a Bass Pro
again, like
shop.
Yeah. Again, like Target has
and
restaurants.
The door handles were guns.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there was like this little study area specifically.
Yeah. Okay. But back on topic, they had compressed oxygen there. It was $15 for the can. I bought it because I need to buy this. Like it's peak capitalism. It's like like what's the fucking movie called?
It's The Lorax.
Yeah, The Lorax. Yeah. It's like that is The Lorax.
I need to buy this. It reminded me of Spaceballs.
Yeah, and I was like, this is...
Have you seen Spaceballs?
Yes.
This is it.
Yeah, you know what I mean then.
Yeah.
Canned air. I need to buy this. This is the future. This is capitalism.
You could have bought flavored air and you didn't.
They didn't have flavored air.
They didn't have flavored air. Never mind.
No, it was just regular
flavored air.
No, if there was flavored air, like it was mint, I'd be like, oh, that's some mint O2. I'll take some mint O2. Strawberry O2. I'll take some strawberry. You know, I would have gotten strawberry or something. It's just normal oxygen.
What is it actually for though?
Sports. So like since it's high altitude, so it's like less oxygen. So you take those, and you know every so often.
It helps you adjust.
Yeah, it's a hit of oxygen, basically. So, if you don't live at high elevation or do sports, it's not worth your money. It's just not. It's $15.
People who live at sea level would probably need it just to like.
Yeah, walk around. If you live at sea level and you come here, it might make sense to get it.
Yeah.
I live at sea level. I'm fine.
Maybe it's because you're an absolute unit.
That would make it harder for me to breathe.
I don't know how it works. I only studied biology a year.
Henry said he's been having like some breathing issues while he's been up
here. Yeah, he's also not been drinking water.
Henry,
that too. He's
Henry
has only been drinking.
Henry has
a I'll be honest. Since I got off the plane, I've been eating the worst shit, and my stomach has been fucking rolling.
He had to get tummies. Oh,
tummies.
Oh.
Henry just slammed. Henry just like punched the door, but he didn't open it.
I had to get Tums.
Hi, we're talking about your health problem.
Yeah. Hi, Henry Blue Stick.
Henry, do you want to enlighten them on your dehydration?
Yeah, I'm dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
That's why I found the camera. Right.
Drink water, retard.
I'm sounding Diesel's lap right now. I'm a ghost.
Yeah, he died. Yeah. It was a good run.
Bye.
My chest hurts.
I just realized like.
Without
the beanie, he looks strangely like SoCal Christ. Speaking of which, do we want to talk about that at all?
I don't know. What is there to talk about?
I don't know.
I haven't watched the update completely. Yeah. So
I haven't watched. I didn't know. Wait, there's an update video?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't watched it completely.
All right. So. Guess we can't talk about it because we're never.
I mean, we could just like go over the situation real quick. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, okay. So you want to explain it?
Yeah, sure. What I heard was that SoCal Christ needed our help to get like custody of his kids. Mm-hmm. Apparently, growing up, he was in a cult and he married someone while in that cult and had kids with her. But he left that cult to like try and get out and shit. And he's trying to get custody of his kids so they don't get raised in said cult.
Yeah.
And his parents are teaming up with his ex-wife because they view him as like a heretic or whatever, or like an outcast.
Yeah.
And to get like custody of his children, he needs like a psychological evaluation.
Where's he from originally?
I have no clue.
I don't know.
I could look it up, but like it might not pop up.
But like he needs like some kind of psychiatric evaluation.
SoCal Christ, probably Southern California.
I don't think he is though.
Really?
Whatever it is, like he needs like some evaluation of his like mental state or whatever. I'm not sure.
He needs to prove that they are in a cult.
Like he needs to prove.
No, he. So he said that it was a psych evaluation to prove that he was fit to be like a parent.
Okay.
What his lawyer was saying was like the best hope for me to get his kids.
Like he needs to to do that though, it costs a lot of money. So he's starting a GoFundMe for like $13,000 or something.
No, it wasn't a GoFundMe. It was Patreon.
Oh, a Patreon.
Because I don't know. He said he should have did a GoFundMe, but the thing is, GoFundMe doesn't allow you to do legal funds anymore.
Ah.
So he did a Patreon and said I don't know why he said he should, but he did PayPal and GoFundMe or no PayPal and Patreon. And I don't know how many people donated to PayPal because it's not public, obviously. But like a Patreon got a decent amount, like 2 months off of that, and like he could pay for it.
Up until now, I've been kind of skeptical to like say anything about it because like I wasn't sure how true what he was saying was because
there was no proof. But like I don't know. Personally, I was just like, it seems very real, and like it would the things he didn't mention made sense not to mention. So, like, I didn't really question it too much.
So, like, he didn't mention, like, the name of the cult.
Yeah, he said cult, and, like, he avoided talking about, like, specific names and things like that. And I was like, that makes sense if you're, you know.
That does make sense.
It makes perfect sense. So, I was like, it seemed like a really genuine video. Like, I watched it, and I was like, I think it's real, personally. Either that or he's a really good actor.
I don't know. The cult stuff is, it's really scary. There was a thing that I watched from I can't remember.
Also, his Patreon's at $16,000 per creation. So,
hold on, give me a second. I'm you know doing my thing.
Boopity boop 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 boop. Come on, Google.
Yeah. Okay. So, like a little bit ago, I went on like a cult related binge and looking up at like cult stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones that was really creepy was like this 12 tribes cult that was in like Canada. That's why I was asking
Canada.
Where it's from. They're originally from Canada. But basically, it's this cult that, like, is super reclusive. They sell, like, herbs and stuff. But they have, like, recruitment stations called the Yellow Deli. So they have delis, right? And they're like, they'll make friends with you, and they'll bring you in to be like, oh, you want to come and learn about Jesus? Or they don't call him Jesus, they call him Yeshua in their cult. And so you go, and then you get indoctrinated into their cult like that. And that's how they recruit members. And they're like they're a commune, they have strict gender policies, kids aren't allowed to have imaginations, they'll be beat if they're imagining or playing with other kids.
How do they know they're imagining? It's like, I see you staring at the wall!
I don't know. If you like, well, I mean, like, think about it. As a kid, like, you made up fucking scenarios just to hang out with, like, your kids, like, your friends or whatever. And it's like, you just, like, pretend stupid shit. Like, it's like, I'm a Power Ranger! And it's like, I guess in that cult, like, you get fucking punched.
That sounds really bad for a kid's development.
Seriously.
That sounds like you're making a fucking robot.
Yeah.
That sounds bad.
Well, what they're trying to do is develop, like, I think it's something like 1,200. It's a very specific number. You know how cults always, like, focus around doomsdays. So, you know, they're looking at the Book of Revelations. They're trying to make perfect offspring, right, that breathe fire. Right, for the second coming.
Is this real?
This is a real cult.
Sorry, Buster, no one's gonna breathe fire.
Yeah.
Unless you shove a blowtorch down their throat, they're not gonna breathe fire. Sorry.
It's really creepy, but also super interesting in a way.
It sounds interesting, but like, Jesus Christ, I would not wanna be. I don't want to be in the same state as these people.
There's a channel, his name's Telltale, and he does, like, cult, like, he breaks down things to see if they're a cult or not, using a thing called a bite model. He's a really, really interesting guy. He used to be in Jehovah's Witness, and now he's an atheist, and he basically determines, like, oh, is this a cult or not, or is it just a religion?
That's interesting.
And he covered 12 tribes, so it's a really interesting video.
I want to watch this now.
Yeah, no, he's very educated on it.
Did he cover Scientology, or is that not considered?
I think he might have. He spends a lot of time talking about Jehovah's Witness because he's an activist for it. But he does cover, like, a lot of different religions as well.
So we're all in agreement Scientology is totally a cult.
Scientology is totally a cult.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
With the Messiah.
Tom Cruise, the leader of the cult.
I don't think Tom Cruise is in it anymore.
Really?
Not?
Yeah.
Hold on, I need to look this up.
He might have left. I mean, it's not...
I don't know how you leave Scientology and get away with it.
It's not as popular to be a Scientologist anymore, but like...
Was it ever popular?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
What? It was popular?
The issue with Scientology is that they're bad, and they have a lot of money. You know, but like...
Yeah, they bought... what fucking thing did they buy? It was like a web game. It wasn't Webkinz. It was like some fun animal game.
Was it Animal
Jam? Animal Jam!
It was not Animal Jam, no. fuck. I forgot when it was.
Neopets?
No, I don't see anything... It was Neopets, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
No, they didn't buy it. Like, during its development, I think it was under control, but like, I don't know how much it leaked into the actual game. I don't think it's currently owned by it.
I need to look it up later, but like, they did something with that, and like there was a documentary I watched
There was a documentary, and apparently, like, I read an article. I didn't watch the documentary.
Never mind.
Apparently there was an internal power struggle between like the Scientologists who were trying to own it and like the people like who weren't Scientologists.
By the way, Tom Cruise is still in Scientology.
Never mind, he's still a creep.
Yeah, like, Tom Cruise can't put Scientology.
The Neopets shit is really interesting, but like, I don't have all the details on head because I read this article forever fucking ago.
It was a while ago since I watched it too.
It was really interesting, like, just how it played out.
Yeah, it was something like the devs were like really like, so like the devs had like this job, and like it was like a low wage job, and they were designing this website and this game, and then like Scientology was like, hey, we can fund that. You know, we can fund that game. Really fun of the game. And then they're like, oh, that's Scientology, that's bad. They figured it out afterwards. So. Yeah.
This is kind of unrelated to cults, but it's like on a fixation with numbers. I don't know, like, if either of you, like, Brent, you both probably know, like, about the SCPs, but, like, I don't know how much you're into them.
I've watched a
lot. I've tried to look more into it, but I actually couldn't find fucking information.
On SCPs?
There's
an entire website.
I looked it up. I was like, okay.
This is hard to navigate.
No, I was like, where the fuck do I go? I don't know where to go. wanted to learn more about it because I thought it was interesting.
It really is interesting, but, like, you go to scp-wiki.net, I think it was. And like, I usually just click on random SCP and have some fun with it.
Okay.
Like, you can literally, and like, there are references to other, like, stories, other SCPs, other groups of interest and shit, like, within those articles that
were sent. SCPs, right?
Yeah. Yes.
How do those come about?
So,
Are they entirely fictional?
It was like, they're entirely fictional.
Okay.
It was a story writing contest to begin with.
There's one, it's Rasputin. like, the Rasputin is an SCP, and that is one of my fucking favorites.
The hell is that?
Rasputin, like, from Russia?
Oh,
okay. Like fucking, but there was this one, it was SCP-4023, I think, and it essentially focuses around the number 23, like, so much. Like, there's 23 separate anomalies, if you will, that are part of this one SCP.
These always give me goosebumps. You just said 23, and I was like, they focus on, like, one number? Oh, but, my gosh! That's so weird!
But SCP-4023-6, or 06, I forgot. It's a memetic thing, apparently, where
memes.
The user, memes. Where the person who knows about the effects of SCP-4023-6 is fucking, like, they become like gradually more obsessed with the number 23, and like the symptoms and shit, it reads as like you like slowly delve into it. Like where like you just start noticing 23 like in passing and shit a little more, like how like say like when you're buying looking for a new product, like you're in the market for a new computer, you see that computer everywhere.
I don't like this.
And then like,
because this is totally something that could happen, because someone could have like a
exactly
a fucking someone could have a whatchamacallit effect. Why am I losing
Mandela
words?
Effect?
No, placebo yeah, effect.
But it's like as you go on, like you start trying to justify your obsession with it, and like it just keeps going until like you have paranoia and shit
is
about it.
Is that what
it.
You're doing now?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh,
I'm sharing it with you, but like,
someone who's listening to this podcast is not gonna have a problem with number 23 the rest of their goddamn life.
The thing is though, like, the thing is though, like, people who are exposed to it, like, they're able to continue their lives. It's not like an incredibly intrusive SCP. It's just fixation with the number 23.
Dude, this gives me goosebumps. It's so
I know,
weird.
It's like
I know realistically it's not real, but like that side of me is
just
like,
it's the placebo effect.
But what if this shit is like, real?
There's like, some good ones to read.
But like,
I've read about some good ones off of Reddit, but not on the actual.
There are.
So.
Like, there's a, what was I gonna say? But, it's, the containment procedures are self-contained within this document, which I thought was, like, really interesting. Like, the night before we came out here, the reason I only got 2 hours of sleep was because that whole fucking SCP article, it's 23 separate ones, and I read through that entire damn thing, because, like, I was Jesus. Fucking hooked. And the other day, some kid said 23 on TikTok, and I was like, it's real, it's happening.
That's the trick to the story, though.
Yeah, no, like, yeah. It's like that one, like, the whole story, it's like, it's interesting how it ties 23 all together and shit.
We're gonna
like,
fucking see 23 now.
But, like,
it's gonna take, like, 3 weeks for us to forget about this.
But the 4023-6 thing is the one that, like, I think, like, makes it stick in your mind. But there's on a lighter note, you know, SCPs could be, like, a recurring thing, because there's so much fun shit about it.
They are fun, no,
also,
are.
Lord Bung's Confinement series, if you haven't watched it, get a fucking life watch.
It's fucking great.
It's fantastic.
Every episode seems like an improvement to the anime.
Infinite
it's
IKEA!
It's
yeah,
great.
The Infinite IKEA is a great
it's
one.
Great. It's great.
But there's this one fucking SCP, I forgot the number, but essentially it's a couch. And if you go in between the cushions of the couch, it's a portal to an island.
Diesel, try it.
Of normal fauna and shit. But the island is inhabited entirely by furniture like creatures. Like there's couches and shit, and there's like little miniature pillows.
Is this like one of the fuck? What's that?
It's so fucking funny.
I remember like visuals, but I don't remember names. Fucking movie button mom.
Movie button mom.
I've never
mom
seen
had
that.
Button eyes.
Coraline?
Yeah, Coraline. Well, is it like that, where it turns progressively more evil?
I mean, like...
Or is it just a fun couch land?
It's just an eco... well, like, it's a proper ecosystem. There's apex predators and shit. Like, there's fucking, like... there's... The beds eat the couches or something. I forgot. Like, fucking,
So... Wait.
So, you know how, like, there's, like, a food chain in the fucking Amazon forest.
So what the fuck would a human do in there? Would they have no predators?
They're not part of the ecosystem.
They're not part of the
so
ecosystem.
So could
they're
you...
They would be an invasive species. They would
could
be,
you
yeah,
kill
be
a, could species. You kill a bed and then use it?
Probably.
You could probably make something with it, but if I recall, the insides are, like, properly fleshy or whatever.
Ew.
Not, like, fleshy. Sorry.
Ew.
Not fleshy. Shut up. Not fleshy, but like organs made out of like furniture shit.
That's still
like cloth and stuff.
The future's now, man. Future's
but like,
now.
I want a cloth heart
it's,
out of a bitch.
It's a really interesting concept. Like, apparently, like there is a brief document like where like this explorer found the couch in 1859 or whatever, or like before that, and like he decided to go in and keep a diary, and he was like, this evil bed ate some innocent little pillows. I'm gonna fucking kill it. And then he died, but like that bed like was maimed forever, and it was rejected by his pack or some shit. It was so funny. I love that fucking SCP.
It sounds like an interesting one. Quick question, so I know we should ask this before. Are we gonna end the podcast before the 30-minute timer of the camera or after?
I think we should end it before, so that way we don't accidentally go, oopsie!
Okay, so you should probably do it before we have an oopsie, which is about now, because there's about 5 minutes left.
I'll outro it because you intro.
Okay.
Thank you guys for watching this episode of the Loud Mouse Podcast. It is much appreciated. This IRL one is a special event. You can follow us on Twitter.
No more visuals for you.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at loudmouse_. We are on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube, and also Google Play, I think.
Yes.
So check us out on any of those. Thanks for watching. Subscribe if you're new. We'll see you guys next time.